Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're continuing, or we're starting really a new year looking at 1 Peter 4. It's kind of exciting when you think about a new year, and we talked about it in Sunday school that sometimes, wow, that starting a new year is exciting, but at the same time, it's kind of scary. And as we look at 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter's writing to believers. And so what we're going to be looking at today is our relationship to one another, basically. And he exhorts them to stand for Jesus Christ in a fallen world. And we're going to see this morning some information. Now, I want you to think about from the Bible, the very next event in history will be Jesus Christ coming to get us in the clouds. We know we call that the rapture. He's going to come in the clouds. The dead in Christ will rise first. We are alive and remain to be caught up together with him. And it could come at any second. So what are we to be doing? Especially as we think about a new year, what are we to be doing as we're awaiting the return of Jesus Christ? And in First Peter, Peter gives us some specific things. So I want to raise some questions for us to think about as we get into the passage. How do the end time events fit together? How does this work? Second, why is prayer important, so important? And then what are the key areas to focus on as we await Jesus Christ, as we look for him coming? And then what are some important truths concerning spiritual gifts? So that's all the things that we're going to be looking at as we go through our passage this morning. It's a familiar passage. We've studied 1 Peter before. There's some great things in there. Well, life can be ordinary. We know that. I mean, think about it. Sometimes you get up, you go to work, you eat lunch, you come home, you eat supper, you watch TV or something, then you go to bed. Then you get up the next, and you do the same thing. Sometimes that's what life is like. But what we like sometimes is something to look forward to. We say, oh, you know, I've got this coming up. Sometimes the birth of a baby. Sometimes somebody's going to get married, and they say, I'm going to get married in 3 months. Or sometimes I'm going to get out of school and get a job. I'm going to actually graduate. Or some people say, you know, I'm just looking forward to a weekend where I don't have to go anyplace. Or there's maybe a special party or celebration or the holidays that we just completed. It's really good when you have something to look forward to. Well, you may not realize this, but all believers, we have something to look forward to all the time. And that is the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He could come at any second. We know that. He's going to come in the clouds. And Titus chapter 2 is called the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. In John 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. When I get it ready, I'll come back and get you. And where I am, you will be also. We call this the rapture, where Jesus comes in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I quoted it a while ago. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain to be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air. And so there's some great things there. So as we think about the coming of our Savior, what should we be doing while we're waiting for him to come? In fact, think about this. What are we to be doing as we wait for Christ? Because he can come at any second. We shouldn't think, well, it's going to be 30 years from now, or 40 years from now, or 100 years from now. It could be any time. But there's nothing to be fulfilled in order for Jesus Christ to come. So it could be any second. What are the things that we ought to be doing? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, Peter actually gives us some specific instructions. I think they're really practical. I think there are things that we can do right now that changes our lives as we look about it. As we think about a new year, I think it's a great challenge that we do what the Word of God says we should be doing as we wait for Christ. And before we get in the passage, let's think about the background. Peter, of course, is writing. He's writing to believers. He's trying to encourage them to stand for Jesus Christ, to make a difference. And he gets into chapter 4. He's talking about the fact that it's a tough world. And he talks about in verse 2, he says you need to live for Jesus Christ and not live for yourself. And then in verses 5 and 6, he actually talks about that all people, both believers and unbelievers, will give an account of themselves to God. And that's a great truth. A lot of people don't understand that. We who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we'll stand before him. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with lifestyle. How did we live as a believer? Unbelievers, when they stand before Christ, it has nothing to do with their sins, because that's all been put on Christ. They've put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. So everybody's going to stand before Jesus Christ. Peter then says, listen, Jesus could come anytime. The end is near. Look what this is our outline of the passage. He says, the end is near. Verse 7. So the key is to be people of prayer. And then in verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, he actually tells us three things to do while we wait. He actually says, love one another, be hospitable to one another, and serve one another using our spiritual gifts. Now, this is a great challenge for all of us in this room. We had a pretty good challenge in Sunday school as we talked about looking back and looking in present time and then looking in the future as we start a new year. Well, this passage really talks about the same sort of thing. He says, listen, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, Peter says, listen, Jesus could come anytime. So here's what we need to be doing as we wait for him. So let's look at it. Look at verse 7. He says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayers. He starts with this, the end of all things is near. And what is he talking about? Literally in the Greek, it says the end of all things has drawn near. When Peter wrote this, he was saying it's right to the end now. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, it actually says the Lord is near. When it says the end is here, it means the completion. What is to be completed? We're talking about the church age. Jesus Christ will return and take out the church from the face of the earth. We know that the very next event is Jesus is going to come into clouds, and we who are believers will be taken off the face of the earth, called the rapture. Peter says the end is near. If he wrote that 2,000 years ago, it's even nearer now, right? It could happen any second. Peter is basically saying time is running out. It has drawn near. Let me just remind you of the end time events just so you can understand. You remember the first coming of Christ, he came to the earth to die on the cross to pay for the sin of the world. He died and rose again, walked on the earth for 40 days and ascended back into heaven. There is a second coming of Jesus Christ, which he comes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and sets up a kingdom and rules for 1,000 years. We saw this in great detail in our study in Grow Groups called The Seven Last Things in the Book of Revelation. But what we also realize is there's the first coming to die and rise again. There's the second coming to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's a coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds called the rapture. After Jesus died and rose again, the church age began. That's us. We're the body of Christ, the church. The very next event, Jesus Christ could come anytime and take us out. That's why Peter says the end is near. The end is near. In fact, he actually says the end has drawn near. And so when you think about it, on that chart, the first coming of Jesus Christ to the earth was his death and resurrection. The second coming of Christ to the earth is to reign as the king. But coming into clouds is the rapture to get the believers. And that could be any time. One thing we don't always realize, that we are in the last days. People always come and say, you think we're in the last days? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1 that the last days are any time after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the whole church age is the last days. And Jesus Christ could come any time. We're at the end of the age. Now, what is Peter going to say? Listen to what he says. The end of all things is near. Therefore, now watch. Here's his summary statement. Be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. He says, the end is near, so keep on praying. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key with our fellowship with our Savior, with our Heavenly Father. We're to be praying. Now, what are we talking about? What are we praying about? We'll see in just a minute when he talks about sound judgment and sober spirit. But he says, listen, as the end comes, as you know it could be over any time, be praying. He says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. He says sound judgment and sober spirit. Let's talk about it. Sound judgment actually means think the right way. See things the right way. Understand the world. Understand what's going on. We have to recognize that, listen, we've got the greatest message of all time. It is the message of Jesus Christ and his faith alone in Christ alone for eternal life. It is that simple. We get to go out in this community. We need to understand our world doesn't understand that our world as a whole is in contrary to God and to the Bible, and we've got to be his ambassadors. And so we need to pray with sound judgment, understanding the times. In fact, as the Bible said, there were people who understood the times. We need to understand the times that we live. The idea of sound judgment means that sober spirit means to be thinking right. It means like to be awake. It's the idea of realizing there's a short time, that there are things that are temporal, there are things that are eternal. And we need to focus on the eternal things rather than the temporal things. So he says, listen, the end of all things is near. Therefore, what you need to do, be sound judgment, know the times, be sober spirit, look at the things that are eternal for the purpose of prayer. We might say it this way, be clear-minded and alert so you can pray effectively. That's what he really says. See, pray effectively. Prayer makes the difference. We're going to be praying for people. Listen, as we wait for Christ's return, we need to be praying for people. We need to be praying for those people that we come in contact with every day that we don't know whether they know Jesus Christ as Savior. We need to be praying for friends and loved ones. We need to be praying for fellow believers. We all know we're going through different things. So prayer makes the difference. As we await Christ's return, we must be praying effectively. The Lord is coming. He could come anytime. So here's the question for us. Are you praying effectively? How do you view the world? How do you view the situation? Jesus could come anytime. Are you lifting up people that that you don't know whether they know Jesus Christ or not, let me tell you, one of the things I do is I have a list of people I pray for every day. And there's some people I pray for, I don't know whether they know Christ. And I pray that I might have a chance to talk to them. There's some people I know who do not know Christ. And I pray they'll come to know Christ, or I'll get an opportunity to talk to them. The Lord could come at any time. Listen, realize there's nothing too small and nothing too big that we can't pray to him. So this year, be a person of prayer. That's what he says. The end is near. So therefore, sound judgment, sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer. Get your prayer list. Write it down. I tell you, here's the thing, and we've talked about this a lot, but it really works. Get you a piece of paper and think of five people that you come in contact with on a daily basis or a weekly basis, people that are in your sphere of influence. It may be somebody you work with. It may be a neighbor. It may be a relative. It may be somebody that you see. And if you do not know whether they know Jesus Christ as Savior, write down their name and say, Lord, in these weeks, days to come, give me an opportunity with these people to talk to them about Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, if you wake up in the day and you pray, that you pray for this neighbor, that next door neighbor that you don't know for sure they know Christ. You talk with them sometimes, but you don't know. If you said, Lord, give me an opportunity that I would find out that I could talk to them about Christ, or I'd find out that maybe they would trust his Christ, or maybe they already know Christ, give me an opportunity to know that. I guarantee you, you'll have that opportunity. As we wait for Jesus Christ, he could come at any second. We need to be thinking clearly. We need to be alert. And we need to be praying. That's what we need to be, people of prayer. Then with that in mind, then he gives three things, three areas that we need to deal with in those who are relationship to us. We're talking about the body of Christ. And here's what he does. He says this. He says we need to be loving people, we need to be reaching out to people, and we need to be serving people. So the three things that we need to do as we await for Jesus Christ to come get us, overall, praying, praying, praying. But here's the three things. Let's start with the first one. Look at verse 8. He says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. He says, be fervent in your love for one another. Love one another. We did a study right after we started our church. It wasn't very long after we got it going, and we did a study on loving one another. We called it the one another's. It was, I think, our first grow group study. And we took, there's over 50 places in the New Testament that talks about one another. Love one another, pray for one another, build one another up, bear one another's burdens. It's everywhere. But the overarching one is love. And Peter says, above all, and this means above everything. This is the key thing in relationship to others. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. And the idea there is to be strong, be warm in your love for one another. You know, when you think of Colossians 3:14, it says, above all, put on love. When you see 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, the greatest of these is love. Love is the key in our relationships, because what love does is love does what's best for the other person. That's what love is. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is patience. We see that in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is the key in our relationships. And when he says, above all, be fervent in your love, it means strong. The word actually means to stretch out. It's like be stretching out in your love. That's what it means. It's almost like you're trying to grab somebody and you say, here, grab my hand. That's what the word fervent means. It means be stretching out in your love, be reaching out in love to one another. Too often, and that's part of the problem with our whole culture, is we look out for each other. There was an author by the name of James Hunter, and he took the top 8 conservative religious publishing companies. Okay? The top 8 religious publishing companies. So all the books they published, top 8. And he said, what are the subjects of these? 87% of all books published by the top 8 Christian publishings were all self-help books. 13%